if they came above and were in the streets, they would be arrested, they would be killed for their faith, because the Roman soldiers were out to eradicate, do away with the Christian faith and the Christians. So Paul writes many things in this letter to Romans, but in the fifth chapter, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. This is God's word. God to direct our hearts and our lives to his word as we examine the word hope. You know, we use that word in many ways. We can say we hope that this spring eternal for the Minnesota Twins, that they'll win a championship game. Maybe we'll hope that in days ahead we'll have everything we want to eat. Maybe I'm going to hope that all this neuropathy that I'm feeling and all these gut problems will eventually leave me. What do you hope for? I was thinking before I was going to have a glass of water sitting up here that had water in it, and it would come up to the midline so we could also say, how do we see life and how do we hope for life? Do we say that the glass is half empty, or do we say the glass is half full? We hope for many things. And years ago, there was a captain of a ship, and he went down through South America, you know, and his ship was just about busted up, so he called it the Cape of Storms because of what happened. But then there was an explorer. And I've been trying to do the pronunciation, so I'm just going to say Vasco da Gama came later and changed the name to Cape Hope, because after he went around and through that cape, he envisioned India, and he envisioned all the beautiful jewels and way of life and everything, so he called it the Cape of Hope. Okay, I want you to think about your life in Christ. What do you hope for? What is it to hope? We're living in a world that has been being torn apart. We're living in a world where, gosh, life just doesn't mean anything anymore. Cars are stolen, they run from police, and in doing so, they go off the road, hit a tree, kill people. What is this world coming to? What are we hoping for? You know, we use that word hope. And in our difficulties, we also hope that they'll go away. We hope that murderers will go away. We hope that cancer and heart disease and all those things that affect us and afflict us will just disappear, and we'll live a fruitful life. We hope that all political divisions will be healed and people can learn to disagree even when there's many things that divide people. Is that hope? Paul is is writing to a people, to a group of Christians that are living in despair. This whole book of Romans is delightful because it talks about, Paul writes about glory. He writes about peace. He writes about being in Christ. He writes about encouraging. And he writes that there's, in the 8th chapter, he says, there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing that will divide us from Christ and tear us away. He's writing to a people, he's writing to us. He's writing to us who fear life. He's writing to us as we look at the world and as our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids look at this world, that they don't tremble with fear. And yet it's there. We wonder when God will have enough and send his son Jesus to this world. We wonder and hope for that thing to happen that will heal all people, that will bring all people together. So God gives us hope. Hope in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because that's our hope, is Jesus. We see him who suffered much for our sake. We see him who was crucified on the cross for our sins to give us everlasting life, an eternal life. That is what we hope for and what we know through God's word that he gives to us. And that will sustain us, that will encourage us, that will lift us up in this world that is being torn apart. I pray every day for my children and grandchildren. I pray every day that they will have joy in life and know Jesus. I pray every day that God will be there to encourage them and to give them hope. Hope that is not disappointing, because it is given to us and poured out in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit comes into our lives through the action of baptism and for the reading of his word. And that is the word that God gives to us to lift us up. Not to eradicate all the problems, not to smooth them over, but to give us the power to live through them, to live through all of the things that we endure as we look to the future that is filled with hope. You know, we suffer many things. We suffer heart disease. We suffer those cancers, prostate cancer, breast cancer, uterine cancer, all of those things that affect us and affect the joy and love that we have for each other. It tears us down. And yet God gives us a word of hope and a word of peace and a word of strength. And as he strengthens the Roman Christians in the catacombs of Rome, he strengthens us as well. He strengthens us as his children, redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So as we live these lives, amongst all the trouble, amidst all the pain that we see in the world, God does that encouragement. And he lifts us up and he causes us to live as God's joyful people. That we can live with joy, not just in having the birth and holding our children and grandchildren in our arms, but knowing that as this life continues, and we see our physical end approach. That we know that after this life is over with, we will live for all eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we will see him as he is, glorified, strengthened. Because God has a plan for us. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, God says, I have a plan for you. Not to harm you or give you trouble, but to lift you up and encourage you and give you hope for a future. You know, we don't know what the future will bring. We don't have a crystal ball that we can sit there and say, oh yeah, okay, I'm going to go to eternal life on this day. Now, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know what God has in store for us each and every day of our lives. But we know that he holds a future. We know that in his hands, we are protected. We are loved. We are strengthened. And we are given that future, knowing that we will live eternally in Jesus. In Christ's holy name, amen.